With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
So you thought you were going into labor?
Yes.
Last night.
I think it has something to do with the fact that this baby is pressing so hard on my bladder that I have to pee so bad that I had a vivid dream in the middle of the night.
No.
That I was in labor.
You know, I thought you were going to labor too last night because you got up to go to the bathroom and you were peeing for like a long time. It was like Austin Powers level. Like, I was like, damn, she's still in there. And I guess maybe I don't always wake up in the middle of the night to hear that.
Uh-huh. It was an exceptionally long pee. I will say that.
It was a long pee.
I actually don't think that my bladder can hold that much pee right now. And so the fact, I will agree with you, despite the fact that it's a little strange that you're commenting on the length of my pee.
You know, you keep a mental timer on these things.
Yeah, I guess
just
I do.
After a while, you start to go, huh, she's still going, huh? She's still peeing? She's still peeing. It's 2 a.m.
Cool.
And it's been a solid 45 seconds.
I think I was so fast asleep, mm-hmm. and I had such a full bladder that, yeah, in my head and in my dream, my body was just like, you're going into labor now. I fully expected to wake up and I threw back the sheets thinking that I was going to have like wetness and blood.
Yeah, that's probably what I was thinking of. That's why I thought you were going into labor. I was like, she's peeing for too long. It's something strange. Maybe her water is breaking.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah.
And also because you went to bed early. You did that this first time around.
That's true. Yeah. You know, like I was tired.
Yeah.
My back hurt a little bit. I don't know, hon. We're getting into the... I mean, this isn't the home stretch for most people. But
for you...
We'll see. I mean...
Welcome to Baby Steps. Ariel is 29 weeks pregnant. We've got a very exciting show today. We've got Rachel Cole, producer, mother of twins, on the show as our very first guest. But first, Ariel, let me tell you about your baby. This is from the internet.
Tell me everything that the internet says about my baby.
29 weeks pregnant. So you, as someone who's pregnant, 29 weeks pregnant, your baby is as big as a head of cauliflower.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty big.
How many pounds are we talking?
It says anywhere from 2.5 to 3 pounds.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's pretty big.
Wes was like just under 6.
Baby's first smile. You might be starting to... The baby might be smiling in there.
I can't feel that.
You can't feel the smiles. No. But yeah, we can maybe see it.
You know what we have been feeling is when Ned talks about boring things.
It's true.
The baby moves.
The baby has been kicking and moving like any... I was talking about my fantasy football team. That baby is flipping. He is into it.
He was like... Dad is talking about something boring again.
He's like,
let's...
But how long will he be out with that hamstring injury?
Tell me more.
Tell me more.
How many running backs did you draft?
The answer is 4.
I thought maybe it was wide receivers for a second.
That is 5.
There we go. Okay.
But this podcast isn't about fantasy football. It's about baby steps, everything... You know, the dirty, the messy, the real life of parenting babies, funny stories, And we're so excited to welcome our very first guest onto the show.
Our very first guest. Oh my gosh. I'm so, so excited to welcome you, Rachel. Rachel has lived 1,000 lives before she started working for Second Try. Mm-hmm. Seriously. Like, I was thinking about all of the things to use to introduce you. We've got producer extraordinaire.
Full title.
Yeah, yes. That is her full title.
She was our hire number one.
Hire number one for Second Try. You are a breast cancer survivor. Mm-hmm. You are a mother of two gorgeous twin toddler girls.
Mm-hmm.
You are former elementary school teacher.
Yes.
Former New York nanny.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Former reality TV star.
Reality TV loser.
I don't know. You're a star in my mind. Did you know that? Did you know that she was on a reality TV show?
Yes.
And in the bottom three.
That's
man. That's a podcast for a different day.
Ugh. Well, so we...
Hi, guys.
Hi. Welcome. Welcome to the show.
Yeah. I'm always here. I'm just not always here.
Right.
Always on camera. Yeah.
Rachel's usually behind the camera. Lobbing us softballs.
Just listening.
If you see me looking to the side is that right? Is that correct?
And I'm like, I'll Google it. Hold on.
But usually she just knows. She's like, yes, absolutely. Yes, that's correct.
But today we're talking about your story of twins, infertility, and just
more like fertility.
Fertility.
More like, let's talk about your fertility journey.
Yes, your fertility journey. Because we want to talk about, you know, it's not always a smooth road, but at the end, that can be a beautiful rainbow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we have been getting a fair amount of questions about this, about, you know, about how difficult it can be and what the options are. And so why not bring in an expert?
An expert only in my story.
Sure, I know. But more of an expert than we are.
Yeah, I mean, I think you guys got pregnant pretty easily the first time.
The first time, yeah.
Yes. Yeah,
we did.
It happened too fast?
Very fast, yeah. I don't know if we had any expectations, but it was like as soon as we started trying. I know. So what was it,
for you? My husband and I actually started trying long before we got married, because we got secretly married at the courthouse. And I was like, cool, let's make a baby.
Oh, wait, what?
So before
that's a story
wedding,
for another day.
Yep. So we started trying and then we took a little baby break right before our wedding because I didn't want to be first trimester pregnant at the wedding. And then we really just went for it. Ovulation strips, basal body temps, tracking everything. And 6 months went by. So I have a history with breast cancer. So I went to see a reproductive endocrinologist pretty quickly. And when you do that, you just start doing testing. So they're like checking to see if all your hormone levels are good, and they're checking to see if your fallopian tubes are open, and they're checking the guy's sperm to see if they can swim and if they're the right shape. Never have I ever seen Watt so proud as to the day the reproductive endocrinologist was like,
swim.
She was like, oh, they're not only good, they're like way above average. And he lit up. He was so happy.
Can you imagine somebody telling you that your sperm is above average?
Way above average. She was like, wow. Oh my goodness. If only everyone.
Very firm.
Wow. Oh, there are so many.
So many.
When they wiggle, they just thrash.
Yeah. The right shape, the right speed. These boys are good.
We did do a Try Guys video where we had to masturbate in a cup in a doctor's office.
That was a very really awkward, weird for your staff.
Very strange. They kept the cameras rolling.
What?
Outside. Outside.
They kept the cameras rolling outside on the door.
Oh. This is not my video.
We timed. Yeah, this was back when we worked at a former large media company, which really is more of a reason why we shouldn't have made that video. It was very exciting finding out that all of the motility tests and concentration tests
were good.
We're good.
Yeah. But there are so many like causes for infertility.
Right. So we went through all this testing, and it takes a little while because you're doing it around your period each month. Mm. And us, like many people, had unexplainable infertility. That's what they call it. Huh. There's no good reason. I have my own suspicions. I went into menopause during chemotherapy twice and came out of it. So I have a feeling that has something to do with it.
But it was like a hormonal something.
But it didn't show up on test. All of my tests look normal.
Oh my gosh. So like ovulation was still working like clockwork and fallopian tubes open.
Open, all the things.
Is that a common thing?
Yeah, I think lots of people just have unexplained infertility that they're not, they're producing eggs, the sperm look good, and yet time after time after time they're not getting pregnant. My biggest advice to all of my friends who are trying to get pregnant at the time, I was like, just have sex every day, don't track your cycles, just have it every single day. That's the way to do
That's the best.
All my guy friends love me so much.
You're getting texts from like the husbands and they're like, wow.
Thanks.
Thank you so much. I thought this was going to be the most stressful time of my life.
Pretty great advice. Everyone listening should do the same.
Some friends of mine are trying to get pregnant right now and it's been 6 months or so. And he just texted me and was like, should we up it to two a day? And I was like, no.
That doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way.
You want your boys potent. No two a days.
Well, also sperm.
More the merrier. I mean, if it's a party, why not bring some food?
Some more
maybe
people.
Some snacks, some light appetizers.
My best friend, who's a urogyn, so a very smart surgical doctor who deals with vaginas, wasn't getting pregnant, and they had sex, and she did a handstand for like 6 minutes after, and they got pregnant that time. And so now she believes in it.
That's myth. It doesn't work that way.
She's a doctor for vaginas.
She's
a surgeon. She does like...
But also gravity?
You're the best.
I'm just saying.
Ned's just saying. Ned's like, I'm a tool. Do what you tell me to do.
Only a myth until it's proven false.
You guys learn in Germany. That's a good way to have
true.
Sex
we
upside
are,
down.
We are planning a sex after pregnancy episode with some of our most wild child-free friends.
But back to... Okay. Back to infertility. Well, so having sex every day, fair enough. Yeah. But it like sperm will stay in your like floating around in your uterus for probably like up to 5 days.
What? Mm. I thought it was 24 hours.
No, it can be like 5 days because when we were trying to get pregnant, I was talking to my doctor and she was like, yeah, I mean, if you've had sex within 5 days of ovulating, then there's a chance.
Wow.
Yeah,
we really should have gotten pregnant that way.
I know.
Damn it.
I know.
Then we decided to do an IUI. That's like a thing you can do before IVF.
What's an IUI?
Interuterine insemination.
Oh.
So basically what they do is they give you drugs to make sure you're ovulating and make sure you're popping eggs out. So like ovulation enhancing drugs.
And so are those the ones that you have to do in a shot?
Not unless you do a hormone trigger.
Oh.
So I did the first ones without a hormone trigger because I am hormone avoidant overall because of my history with breast cancer. And so just ovulation enhancing drugs, you can actually feel yourself ovulate. It's wild.
No way.
What does it feel like?
It hurts. It's like a quick, sharp pain.
And like a cramp kind of?
The time I got pregnant, I was sitting in the doctor's office. I was like, ow. Like you have like a bad pang of gas or something. Like it made me kind of double over for a second.
And that's from like a drug that they give you?
No, that's from ovulation. Like I felt myself ovulate.
Oh.
Which only normally we don't feel it, but because of the ovulation enhancing drugs that I think are making the eggs grow bigger and pop out more specifically, I could feel it.
That's fascinating.
Pop out? Isn't that wild?
More eggs?
So you pop out more eggs. Yes, you have to sign a waiver that says you understand that multiple gestations is possible. And as I signed the waiver, I turned to Watts and I go, well, twins are a nightmare. And I signed So I screwed myself. Except for I didn't because I love having twins.
Okay, so you take, was it a pill or?
The ovulation enhancing drugs are pills, and then the hormone trigger that then you have to be inseminated like 24 hours later is a shot.
Wow, this is there's so many words being thrown around.
I know.
Well, my tiny little male brain can't handle it.
Stop it. Just wait till we get to like IVF. I mean, because this is the first step. So this is the sort of like the insemination stage where you don't have to go through any.
So you don't retrieve the eggs. Mm-hmm. All you're doing is basically using, you know, drugs to enhance my ovulation. You're leaving the eggs in there, and then you're using like a really long syringe, basically a turkey baster to throw the sperm in there.
Uh-huh. Wow. So you take a drug to make sure the eggs are like, hello.
And they the sperm a little to make sure all the best boys are on top.
Oh, they kind of have a little sperm. It sounds like sperm centrifuge.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got like an all-star team.
Yeah, in there. So they're all good.
It sounds so like scientific, but like what it really just is just like you get your hottest guys, your hottest girls, and then you smack them in a room together.
Yeah. And then they use a really long syringe to just throw the sperm right up in there where the eggs are so they don't have to travel or anything.
No handstands.
Wow. Yeah. So how this actually works in real life, though, is you have to drop off the sperm about an hour before you get inseminated. And this is all around your period so that you have no control of the timing. So if you're me, you make sure we're not shooting DUI driving that week. You make sure we're shooting it the next week. Uh-huh. And you leave work and you tell your production manager, I'm going for a long lunch. I feel myself ovulate. And then I go in and two little babies.
Wow.
I came back to work, prepped DUI driving, went home.
That's very.
Isn't that such a funny way to get pregnant?
It seriously is. It really is.
So like, you know, it's happening right then. But then you tried this several months.
Yeah. So we did it in May and June. Huh. No, we did it in May and we skipped June. And it did not work. So there were failed cycles as well. And then we did it again in July and it did work.
I think like when someone is, if you're kind of struggling with fertility, that might seem like, it's kind of a difficult process or like an evasive thing or something like that might be like a struggle. But it seems like that is a pretty like reasonable way of like having an intervention.
I think so. My only problem with the whole thing is that our insurance doesn't cover fertility.
Is a big one. There's like two states where insurance covers fertility.
And so it was just thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. Less than IVF, less than adoption. But, you know, every doctor's appointment I left, you know, charging thousands of dollars to my credit card. I was like, people do this for free. People do this for free drunkenly by accident.
By accident. I know.
You know, so it just feels like money you don't have to spend.
Right.
It doesn't feel fair.
No. I mean, I always think it's so crazy that adoption's the most expensive way to get a kid.
I know.
IVF is the second. Like that those things cost so much more.
Yeah.
But let's move on to talking about IVF.
Yeah. I did not do IVF.
Right.
I know a little bit about it from talking about, but we got pregnant with the IUI, and so I ended up not doing it. But IVF is sort of the same, only they retrieve eggs from the woman, which is a very invasive procedure.
It's surgery.
Basically. And then they take the eggs and the sperm, and they sort of they do genetic testing on them to make sure they're genetically viable. That cost extra, by the way. That's an extra $6,000 per egg.
Of course. Per egg.
At my doctor's office, because I talked to her about it, because I considered doing the first part of IVF right after we had the twins so that we could have a baby down the road and it would be easier.
So harvesting the eggs.
Yeah, because your pregnancy is only as old as your eggs are. So I, at 37 or 38, could have a 34-year-old pregnancy.
Right, because they would have held the eggs for you.
Yeah. I didn't do that.
Fair enough. Well, once you have twins, expensive. It's kind of like, oh my God.
I know. It's like $20,000 for the first part. So I was like, maybe not now. we have two. That feels very lucky.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But, and then they make sure they're genetically viable. Then they inseminate them in a lab. They give them 5 days to grow, make sure they're growing, and then they implant them in the woman. And they can still fail at that time, but they also control every part of your ovulation cycle. So you're getting daily shots and hormone triggers, and they're not listening to your body saying, this is when we ovulate, which is what they're doing with an IUI. They are creating the ovulation with external hormones.
Right.
So they suppress your hormones, then they support them, and then they push them so that they can grow the eggs as big or as much as they want, and they don't harvest them unless they have a bunch.
Yeah.
I know. So,
do you know how many
science
eggs?
Is cool, you guys.
Science is cool.
Yeah. So how many eggs do they normally get when they harvest them?
I think a lot. I'm not totally sure, but I think they wouldn't do it if they – I can't – I took notes on this when I met with her.
I'm guessing it's like –
it's like 10 or
I was going to say, somebody told me like around 8.
Yeah, it's big. It's a lot of eggs.
But then when you think about it, if, you know, if you have 8 eggs and each of them has been you know, fertilized, and say you put in 2 or 3 every time, and it doesn't take.
Right.
I mean,
yeah, that's right. When they're inseminating, when they're putting them in, I think they put in more than one sometimes.
Oh,
right.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not totally sure about that, actually.
Well, since you did IUI, is there more of a chance of having twins with IUI? Like, what's the
I think IVF they twins? Won't necessarily inseminate you with more than one.
Oh, really? They just try one.
Yeah, there's a huge chance of having twins, and the older you get, the more eggs your body releases at once because they're like, let's use these before we hit menopause.
Right. We've got so many.
And so the older you are, the more likely you are to have twins. But you guys, I had lots of monitoring because I had a RE and then a twin pregnancy. So I had an ultrasound like a week after getting pregnant and a vaginal ultrasound, and they saw that I released 3 eggs. It could have been triplets.
It could have been triplets.
Oh my gosh.
No, thank you.
That's unreal. Do you ever imagine your life with triplets?
No. No, there are 2 adults and 2 babies. That's plenty.
I love your like signing the authorization form like twins would be crazy, right?
I said a nightmare. That's what I get.
Mm.
Oh, man.
I know. So when I went in for my beta HCG, the nurse was taking it. My doctor walked by and she like looked at it and she was like, "Oh." And I was like, "What are you? Are you worried?" And she was like, "No." And I was like, "Oh my God, you think it's twins?" And she was like, "I think your numbers are really high, really early." And I was like, "Okay." So I sort of knew from the first moment she had an inkling. And my best friends who are OBGYNs, I have 2 of them, were like, "No, no, no."
But it's not. It doesn't happen like that.
No.
It's not that easy.
No, people have high HCG. Like, it's fine. No, there were 2.
And then after you got pregnant, what was the process of that pregnancy journey? Like, what? Yeah. How did it differ with twins? I mean, I know that you were kind of expecting everything to happen earlier. You know, you were preparing for a NICU.
Yeah. Well, also, for those of you not watching the YouTube video, Rachel is petite. She
I'm a shrimp. I'm a little shrimpy. So,
a twin pregnancy.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
What was that like on your body, too?
So the morning I found out I had twins, I was going in for like ultrasounds every week at like 7 a.m. before work.
Every week?
Because when you have a reproductive endocrinologist, so these were vaginal ultrasounds because you couldn't see anything yet.
Right, of course.
there's a lot of monitoring. So I saw her up until 12 weeks and I switched to a regular like delivering OBGYN practice. And then I saw them every other week.
Wow.
I know.
Wow. Towards you got the to end, see the twins so many times.
I don't know what it's like to not get to do that.
It's awful. Yeah. It's awful. I was, when they were measuring my uterus, like, you know, every 2 weeks, I got to see this one all the time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, he's moving and he's doing all this fun stuff. And they took all these pictures. But it's been like 5 weeks now since I've done that. And I'm like, I'm dying to see him, you know?
I mean, I haven't gotten to see him at all. Ned hasn't gotten to see him because of the coronavirus. I've saw so him sort of through a blurry FaceTime.
Blurry FaceTime. That is a good descriptor of an ultrasound.
That's true. Yeah, but when it's like a blurry FaceTime of a blurry FaceTime.
I know.
It's just some resolution loss.
You're like, I know. Okay, there's someone in there.
That's cool. No, well, I could kind of see his face and you could see his little hands. So it was cool. But you know, it's special.
I did confirm with my doctor that they are allowing partners for labor, and you get to stay after. You get to stay for recovery too.
Great.
Yeah. Good news.
Whew. Yeah, that would be very hard to deal
that
with.
That would be so hard. And just not good for you.
I know. Not good for anybody.
No.
Yeah. Okay, so go on.
A twin pregnancy. Well, I got this vaginal ultrasound. She said, yep, there too. And I just came to work and I was just like Googling twin pregnancy 9 months and looking at the Google image search results. And I was like,
oh my
it's
God.
It's really scary.
Of course it is. Of course, that's the first thing that you were like, what's like, the worst case scenario?
How do I fit two basketballs inside
I
of
know.
Me?
And then someone told me, they were like, well, you should probably gain up to 50 pounds. And I was like, 50? Oh my God. I'm 5'4". How? Tell me how. But I mean, I did have lots of extra monitoring, so it was great.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were genetically healthy. That felt good. We moved into, like, second trimester. I already looked pregnant. That felt good. That was so nice.
Yeah, you didn't have any in-between phase. You just, like, skipped straight.
Yeah, I was, like, not pregnant and then very
basketball.
Pregnant.
And then, I mean, by, like, 5 months, 6 months in, by the time I was where you are now, or even a little sooner. Like, I couldn't wear my wedding ring, everything. Like, my hands and feet were swollen really, really quickly.
Yeah.
And then by the time I was at the end of 7 months, I went on, like, bed rest. I stopped working. I was laying on the sofa drinking 3 liters of water and watching Great British Bake Off every day.
Wow. And so,
it's a pretty good life.
So did the doctors put you on bed rest because they were concerned that you were going to be going into labor?
Yeah, you just know you're going to have them early, much like you do right now with this one. You know you're going to have them early and you know they're going to be smaller because they're twins. They always are.
Yeah.
And so you're just doing everything you can to prevent that.
Yeah.
Yeah, as opposed to the first time around with Ariel, where we thought your due date was, like, you know, a pretty good indication, and, like, we planned all these shoots. Mm-hmm. Now we're, like, planning for me to not be in projects or not be in shoots just, like early November, like, maybe even late
maybe
October.
Maybe October.
Yeah.
Maybe October.
We'll see about Halloween. Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah.
Just trying to get it all in these next 6 weeks.
I'm basically planning on all of my projects being done by October 15th.
Mm-hmm.
Which
that seems smart.
That's 34 weeks. Just in case.
34
just
weeks in case. Is good. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, we're in the third trimester now.
Mm-hmm.
We're cruising.
So I joke with the other Try Guys that they don't understand my life because they don't have a kid. And they really don't. But also, I don't understand your life because you have two kids. And now we're about to have two kids. It's a little different because it's, you know, there's the age difference there. Yeah. But like, how is it different?
All gas,
two?
No brakes.
Yeah, all gas, no brakes.
No brakes. And Watts is, I mean, you both work in production and like in the entertainment industry.
Mm-hmm.
And he's on sets shooting.
Like in a different state right
now.
Oh,
yeah. He just came back. But he recently was in Tulsa for 3 weeks.
Unreal.
And so it was just me and the nanny and the babies. And not like a live-in nanny, but she comes during work times. Thank goodness.
Thank goodness.
otherwise I wouldn't be here. Like, there's just no way around it.
The full-time job. Yeah. I mean, taking care of two babies.
Ned and I, when he's gone for like 2 days, I'm like, I can't handle this. And it's one baby. It's one baby. I'm like, I have no time to myself. I can't shower. I can't do anything.
Oh, yeah, I don't shower. Like, these weekends while he was gone and the nanny's, you know, living her life.
Right.
There are no showers, really.
Of course.
Maybe during their nap time, but there's so much else to get done.
I know.
And if you shower, you might wake them up.
I know. I have a lot of photos of June in the shower with me. Watts used to leave for set at like 5:30, 6 a.m. I would get up with the babies. This is pre-pandemic, every single day. And the nanny wouldn't come till like 9. And so I would just shower with them. So I have so many photos of them like on the floor of the bathroom in the shower with me. I hold one. The other one's down on the thing.
Oh, my gosh. And they are so different.
The two
of them are so different.
They're definitely two different eggs, two different personalities, two very different people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And one is like a little socialite, mm-hmm. happy to just sit and chat.
Yeah.
Love smiling. And the other is just a go-getter.
She's all like, gas, no brakes as
all
well.
All gas, no brakes.
She is absolutely all gas, no brakes. She
scrappy explorer.
Whenever Wes hangs out with the twins, June is just chasing Wes around, trying to do all the things that he is doing.
She's a full year younger, but she's like, no, we're equals. We're peers. Let's go.
Like, you want to lift that pillow? I can also lift the pillow.
Yeah. Wes lifted this big pillow and walked around going, I'm a big guy. And June was like, I'm a big guy too.
And so Poppy's cute. Like, good for you guys.
Good for you guys. She's like, I'm going to sit with the adults and snuggle. I know. They're very different.
And I know that you will never say publicly who was first.
I've said that. I don't know. I'm just not telling them in childhood who is first.
Of course not.
So I'm happy to say publicly because they're not going to listen to this podcast till they're much older.
They'll already know.
They will. I just think June will lord it over Poppy forever and ever. You know what I mean? Like, she's going to use that to her big sister advantage.
Absolutely.
But she's a big sister by 14 minutes. So that's the same.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They are the same.
What I will say, though, is I knew I was in labor because my water broke. And that was June's water. And then went into the hospital, yada, yada. Yada, yada. Very long time. Lot of stuff happened.
Of course.
Pushed June out. And then after 4 hours of labor with June, of pushing with June, Poppy's water still wasn't broken.
And she wasn't ready.
She wasn't ready. So then they had to.
They have two separate waters?
They can have the same one, but that's a high risk, high danger pregnancy.
Oh, wow.
And I think that's called Momo. My twins are called Die. So they have their own placentas and their own waters. Oh. Which is why people were like, you're going to gain 50 pounds because there's so much.
There's just so much fluid.
Wow.
Yeah. Because two waters, two placentas.
I don't know if you know this, hon, but most of the weight in pregnancy is just the fluid that is keeping the baby warm and fed and safe. Mm-hmm. You know, what is it like? It's upwards of like 15 pounds.
Yeah. So I
water
gained.
Water weight. You're like a bodybuilder.
Yeah. 30 pounds during pregnancy. And when I left the hospital, this is a whole other saga, but I had I came back to the hospital and had my weight taken in the ER, and I had lost 25 pounds. It's just so much.
Whoa.
That's just babies. You know, it had been like 3 days since giving birth.
It was just the water.
Mm-hmm. Water and placentas.
Crazy. Yeah. And that's so Poppy too. Like, not
being
ready.
She was just snuggling up. She was not ready. But her bossy sister was like, let's go.
Oh, man.
And I was like, okay.
Wes doesn't do this quite as much, but sometimes when he was younger and he would like kind of have a tantrum, he would grab Ariel's legs and just like smash his head at her crotch. And we joked that he was like,
send me back.
This world is too much for me.
I think Poppy would go back if she could. I don't want to be here.
I want to be here.
Go back.
Let me back.
Go.
I'm going in.
I swear, some days it's just he's not going to smash his head back up in there.
We're going back.
We're going back.
Oh, my God.
Now he tries and he's like, oh, no, it's occupied.
Oh, I see.
This hotel is taken.
No vacancy.
No vacancies.
Oh, man. I know. And like Poppy would, like June's always the one who wakes up first.
Oh, yeah. Poppy sleeps till 7 every day. June, you never know.
Oh, man.
I know. Poppy is the easiest baby on planet Earth, but June balances her out.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Of course.
Yeah. They're going to be connected for life. They're going to have the kind of, their personalities will help develop each other. It's really quite fascinating.
I always feel like they've never been alone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited
that Wes is going to have a younger brother.
Wes, the other day, I don't know if I told you this, but we like sat down on a blanket and we were having a snack and he looked really, really sad and he goes, want to see Friends.
Aww.
I was like, oh, me too, buddy. Me too.
That's exactly how I feel.
Yeah. Right?
Want to see Friends.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, but I thought of you and I thought, oh, Poppy and June will always have each other.
They always have each other. And here's the thing I tell people who are going through their own infertility or figuring it out stuff is that once you have the babies you have, you won't want it to have worked out any other time because you will only want the ones that you get.
Absolutely.
Like, I don't want the IUI baby from May because I want June and Poppy.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, whether you adopt or foster, sure as hell don't want that third, whoever they were. No, thank you.
Poppy, June, and Deborah.
No, Deborah cannot be. My God. Can you imagine if I had triplets?
I cannot.
I can't even imagine having twins. So no, I cannot.
Yeah, I remember when I told you guys, I was like, I'm pregnant. And you were excited. And then I was like, there's more. And Keith was like, well, then it's twins. And I was like, yes, how did you know? And he was like, that's the only thing that there could be more of.
Of course.
I was like, I guess you're right.
Well, even though it happened pretty smoothly the first time for us, the second time around wasn't so smooth.
Right.
We wanted to tell you a little bit about Ariel's miscarriage.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think... like first going into, so there is something in like in a second pregnancy where you can actually have like second pregnancy infertility, which I thought was really interesting. It's just something that people go through where they can get pregnant really, really easily the first time, and then the second time it takes 6 months, it takes a year.
Yeah, I think it goes the other way too. I definitely have friends who took like a year and needed interventions for their first pregnancy. And then she got pregnant on the first try. They had sex once and she was pregnant with the second one. And he, quite frankly, was so sad. He was like, no more trying? She was like, no, I'm pregnant.
We're done. Your job is done.
But so interesting. So second time. Trying. I remember you trying because I went over to your house and you sent me home with bottles of wine. I was like, yes, get these out
please
of here.
Please take these. Take these away. True. Yes.
Happy to do my part.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, it was tough the second time around.
We had been trying since about November.
Mm-hmm.
And the first couple of months it didn't happen just because.
Just because.
But then we found out you took a pregnancy test in February and it was positive and we got all excited and we were like, oh my God, yay.
But the interesting thing is that I took a pregnancy test and it was like firmly positive and we got really excited. And then I took another pregnancy test a couple of days later just because I like to triple check.
Yeah.
You know,
you have
just
them
in case. And it was, I don't know. I mean, you know, pregnancy tests are pregnancy tests, but it was less positive.
Huh.
So there was, so, you know, like the lines show up, and I did a lot of research on this because I was like, why is the line faint?
Oh, why? Like faint later? Because yeah. Your HCG should be getting more and more, so exactly. It should be darker and darker.
It should be darker and darker.
I mean,
I'm
sure it plateaus at some point, but...
But not in the first few weeks. And so, yeah. And so I was like, that's weird.
Huh. Whenever stuff happens like that, I at least have an internal monologue of, oh, you're just reading too much into it. Yeah. You're overthinking
it. Totally.
Everything's fine.
Yeah.
What was that like for you? What was your internal monologue
at that time? It was absolutely... Well, I wish I could say that I felt totally fine about it, but I didn't. I knew something was wrong. Mm. I knew, I was like, this is strange. This doesn't make sense and shouldn't be happening mm-hmm. if this is progressing as it should. And that was when we went to New York. So mm-hmm. we went to New York like a week later. And we were in the hotel, and
which, in retrospect, late February of 2020 was a really bad time to be going to New York.
It certainly was.
It sure was.
Okay. But,
yeah. And like the first night that we were there, I was really really tired, and I was like, I just have to go to bed. I don't feel good. I'm just gonna go to bed. And then that morning, I woke up and I was bleeding, and it was just. You know, I was like, this is probably not good. Yeah. But we were busy. We were meeting with a whole bunch of people that day.
It was like a work trip.
Yeah. And so I just, actually, I did the worst thing that I could have done. I put in a tampon.
No.
Yeah, I did.
You're not supposed to do that, right?
I know, you are not supposed to do that. So that is probably for the very worst thing that you could do because it introduces bacteria.
Right, and so you want a pad.
Yeah,
you want a pad. Which no one has.
But right, exactly. Exactly, yeah. But I had like probably a 10-year-old tampon in like my travel bag, you know, and I was like, oh, I'll just do this for right now just to like... You know, get through it. Mm-hmm. And then...
Did you tell Ned that you were bleeding?
I did. I think I mentioned it that evening. Yeah. I was like, I think something's wrong.
Yeah.
I think this is not good. And And so do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember you were like, I think I'm like having a period... Like, and we were like, oh, but you were pregnant. Is that norm? Is that,
I think
we were like, I just didn't know. I was like, does that happen? Like, is it like you're, but no, it doesn't. Yeah. It's not normal.
I think there are circumstances where you can have one period and still be pregnant.
Or like spotting.
Yeah.
But this was pretty heavy. And
it was hard. It was because we were under the impression that you were pregnant. And so it was kind of like, wait, so does that mean you're not pregnant? Like, was the test wrong?
It was hard because we did not know what was going on, and we had no like resources really to figure it out.
We couldn't hop over to your doctor,
right? Exactly.
You know, across the country.
And once you've like wrapped your head around like I'm pregnant, it's really hard to unwrap your head around.
Exactly.
Yes. Even though physically it was only the span of 7 days, like mentally it's the span of years.
I know. Mentally, your soul, like the
circled all the mm-hmm. you know, due dates on your calendar and all that kind of stuff. I had made I had scheduled an appointment with my doctor. You know, mm-hmm. like I remember.
After your shopping cart, ordering new baby clothes.
I remember sending my doctor an email, you know, because she had taken out my IUD a couple, you know, maybe mm-hmm. 4 months earlier. And, you know, and I sent her an email and I was like, I'm pregnant. When should mm-hmm. I come in? You know, super excited. Mm-hmm. And she sent one back and she's like, oh, great. You know, so excited for you. Why don't you do 2 weeks from now? Mm-hmm. And then I used... that same 2 week appointment, and I was like, yeah, Sarah, I think I lost it, you know. And she checked and she's like, yeah, I'm really sorry, but you know,
I'm so sorry.
It was, I mean, you know, the thing that hit me the most, I don't think it actually hit me until I went to the doctor. Mm-hmm. And this is my same doctor who delivered Wes, and I love her so much. She, you know, we talk about our kids every time I go, and, you know, meet with her.
Followed her across town.
I followed her across town because she switched hospitals.
She will be delivering baby number two.
Yeah, she will be delivering baby number two. But she started to tear up when she was telling me that I no longer had a baby. And I have never experienced that before. I've never experienced a doctor getting emotional about, you know, something that was happening. And I was in denial. I was like, huh. Okay. So it's gone. There's no baby left. There's nothing there anymore.
Yeah, you were probably almost thinking like, oh well, I mean, I guess I was never really pregnant to begin with. If that's not happening. But that's not true. It's like it was.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I remember coming home from that and it really feeling real then. Mm-hmm. You know, and then the emotions hit. Then it's the, well, can I get pregnant?
Yeah.
You know, then it's the loss of something that could have been.
Right.
And I think that that's what a lot of people who struggle with infertility struggle with is that loss of the potential.
Yeah. Every month I would think about the weddings we had coming up that summer and be like, oh, well, at that wedding, I'll look this pregnant. Well, at that trip, I'll be pregnant like this. And then I would come and go to the weddings and I was not pregnant. Right. You know, like at that Christmas, I'll look like this. Nope.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we thought that as well.
Yeah.
A little different because all the weddings got canceled. No weddings happening
during the pandemic.
Coronavirus
I'll
fall.
Look like this.
One thing that I wanted to ask you about was like, are there certain things that that you can do to support a friend who is struggling with infertility?
You know what's so interesting is up until our final IUI, I didn't tell my friends.
Really?
Yeah, I just kept thinking, next month I'll tell them I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
Next month I'll tell them. Actually, the very first time I met Ned, believe it or not, we were at BuzzFeed and we were in a meeting for the commercial we were all doing together.
Right.
And Ned and I left that meeting. We were walking together, just sort of chit-chatting about it. And we realized we lived in adjoining neighborhoods. We'd both bought a house in the last year. We shared the same realtor. And Ned goes, are you guys pregnant too? And in my head, I was like, maybe. We're trying.
Oh my gosh.
Maybe, possibly.
I can't believe I asked you that, but that seemed very polite.
I think we just had so much in common.
Maybe I was joking.
I mean, maybe you were joking, but it was like, oh yeah, we bought a house here. You bought a house here. Yeah. We used Blake. You used Blake.
Are you guys also pregnant?
You have a Labradoodle. We have a Golden Doodle. It was just like on paper, it looked very similar. And I was like, maybe, but not maybe. Trying.
I mean,
I didn't tell people, but I think, I don't know. It's hard. I also had friends who got pregnant on their first try during the same time period, and they didn't tell me at first because they were so worried that their good news would somehow be my bad news.
Right.
And that, I think there is a lot of that. Like, people struggling with infertility have a hard time with Mother's Day and baby showers.
Right.
But also, like, their good news is just my good news. Yeah. Like, I'm so happy. Mm-hmm. Their having kids only enhances my life.
Of course.
You know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think just being not afraid to talk about it seems good. And I saw you the morning you guys got back from New York, I think before your doctor's appointment, when you were having a miscarriage.
Yeah.
And you mentioned it. And I was just like, oh, I just want to hug you.
No.
That's all I want to do. And now drink wine.
And now drink wine.
There's nothing to do but to be sad.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when it comes to, you know, the loss of something that could have been.
Yep.
It really is important to share and to mourn that.
I wish I had talked about it sooner.
With grieving.
Yeah, I wish I had told people sooner. By the time we did that IUI, I told some of my very best friends, and they were like, "We're going to visualize success." Mm. You know, maybe that's why it worked.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, you need your like team of people to be there with you.
Yeah, you do.
It's hard to share bad news. It's easy to share good news, but I think both are really important.
Yeah. One thing that somebody told me who also was struggling with infertility is that you know, she had been spending a lot of money and mm-hmm. and you know just really bemoaning the fact that she was having to go through this process when so many people, you know, it happened so easily for them. And she was saying that people were always recommending that she adopt. And I thought that that was really interesting because a lot of people who don't really know like what it's like to struggle with infertility, they put infertility like or fertility treatments and adoption in the same package. And they're not.
They're two different things.
They're very much not.
They're both wonderful options. But like telling someone like, oh, you don't like football? Well, go play baseball. It's just like.
Ugh, worst.
Did you get that analogy though?
Clearly a good analogy.
I love everything, but come on.
But dude,
can you imagine me playing fantasy baseball?
No.
So many games. Like 150 games in a season. What are they doing? Yeah, it's very different.
It's very, very different.
And also, like, I just don't think people should give up on what they want. I mean, not everything is accessible to everyone because it's very expensive. But I feel like if you want a family, there's a way to have a family.
Right.
I think one of the things that, I mean, this helps me in a lot of different ways, but like if you're dealing with a lot of negative news, trying to reframe your perspective to like, what can you be like thankful about and what can mm-hmm. you be grateful about? Like you can be thankful that there are treatments like mm-hmm. IUI and IVF and that, you know, if you're able to pay for it, that you do, you know, thankful that you do have the means to pay for that even mm-hmm. rather than bemoaning, oh, it's taking all of my savings or this is such a difficult process. I mean, I think that can be a small change that can, mm-hmm. kind of help reframe a very difficult process in a kind of a positive way because at least it is an option. At least it's a thing.
Yeah.
And I think like finding some contentment in what is going on currently in your life, like wear the skinny jeans, sleep in, stay up late, like do all the things parents can't do. And enjoy it while also knowing you have your eyes set on the next thing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's really hard. And start like a GoFundMe or something. People should do that for adoption.
Absolutely.
And IVF. Mm-hmm. Like people would love to support you. And it's really ungodly expensive.
I did not know it was that expensive.
It's really
My
crazy.
Goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just gets more expensive.
That's like a car.
The more difficult it gets.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Although you would never change it for the world.
I wouldn't.
No.
No. No. I'm happy it all happened exactly as it happened because I only want those two munchkins to be my kids.
Yeah.
You know?
What are you going to do with a car? Drive it?
What are you going to do with a house? Live in it? Come on. I know.
So true.
Car isn't going to take care of you when you're older.
I don't know. Maybe a Tesla would.
Yeah.
It might. I mean, you just keep getting those updates.
I know.
You know, that got a little heavy at times, but I feel like there's, you know, there's a positive at the end.
Two positives.
Three
positives.
Three positives. Yeah. June and Poppy's favorite tiny friend.
I guess the,
that's right.
The end of our fertility story is, you know, a couple months later, it was all okay.
We
didn't want to tell our friends for a little while because we were like, okay, it's a positive pregnancy test, whatever, like I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah,
but you know,
there was definitely that period of not believing that it was true.
Yeah,
after you know, like after you've had a miscarriage or after you've dealt with any sort of infertility, you kind of take everything with a grain of salt.
You like put up a guard, you know, you put up like a emotional shield. I wasn't as happy or excited
the second time
because I was kind of protecting myself from the negative emotions. I saw the pregnancy test and I was like, okay, cool.
We'll see.
Like, yeah. I mean, I was happy, you know, obviously excited, but like the first time I was like, oh my God, yeah, it's
we're doing
happening.
It again.
But like, you don't want to go through that roller coaster again.
Yeah.
So, but like the more we got positive news back, mm-hmm. the more like it happened a little bit better. But once we saw the baby on the ultrasound, and I was like, it was a real special moment. I was like, oh my God, it is it's actually happening. Look at that.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I took the pregnancy test for the twins, I took it and sat down and I walked away for like 45 minutes because I forgot about it, because I've taken so many negative pregnancy tests that I just assumed it would be negative.
Oh my!
I didn't even check on it.
Tell me what it was like to come back to a positive pregnancy test.
I was like shaking.
Were you?
What is this? And I went online and ordered some cute clothes.
Oh my God,
I just like need to do something.
Yay.
Oh, I could only.
But I walked away. I wasn't convinced it would ever be positive. Like it wasn't a big moment to take a pregnancy test. I had taken hundreds.
Right. It was. It was something that you had to do because it was the time to do it.
And, yeah.
You know, just
like it won't happen.
Oh my gosh.
But then you came back and it did.
And then it did.
I know.
Oh my gosh. Is there anything else that you wanted to share today? I mean, we'll definitely have you back to talk about all the things, including all the adorable. I mean, we're going to have to talk about toys and I mean, obviously clothes.
Yeah, Ariel dropped some product recommendations on her Instagram.
I did.
Yes, I saw.
Very
I
did. Excellent.
All my faves.
Do you agree?
Yes, yeah. I 100% agree.
I knew you would.
Yes. If you ever want to debate bonnets versus not bonnets, I'm here for you.
I'm
pro bonnets.
I think we're doing bonnet with the second one. I've already bought two.
Good, because I got you one. I was like, they better do bonnets.
Yes. Oh, sorry. I have not okayed this with you, but we're going to have a bonnet, baby.
I'm into bonnets. We here at Baby Steps, we are a pro bonnet community. Pro bonnet.
You gotta keep that little tiny head warm.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah.
You do.
Oh, I can't wait to meet him.
I know. Us too. Well, I can. I can wait at least 6 weeks to meet this one.
11 more weeks to go. Stay tuned, all of you out there listening. And while you're at it, do us a favor and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts. It helps other people discover the show. And when you're writing your review, leave us your story.
And
we'll read it on the show.
We've been getting a whole bunch of stories, and I've been trying to put them all together. We'll probably be reading those in two episodes, I think. Mm-hmm. Next episode, we are taking a 180-degree turn, and we're going to get a couple of our friends on here, a couple of our crazy single friends.
Yeah. Well, they are in a relationship, but yeah. They
crazy.
They are not bound to children.
Married, and they do not have children. And we're going to talk about sex.
We're going to talk about sex.
Before you get pregnant, sex. After you get pregnant, sex. After you have kids. How does it change? How does it stay the same?
Yeah.
Exciting. I'll be here. Not here, but here. You guys, thank you so much.
Thanks for coming, Rach.
Of course, always.
Ugh. All right. Well, goodbye. We'll talk to you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye.